Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Over the last couple of decades, no North Carolina journalist has spent more time reporting on the machinations of state government than Lynn Bonner. During her long tenure with Raleigh's News and Observer, Lynn authored hundreds of stories about the state legislature and politics and wrote extensively about mental health, state Medicaid policies and spending, and public education. Happily, as we head into 2021, Lynn is now working as an investigative reporter for NC Policy Watch. And earlier this week, I got a chance to talk with my new colleague about some of the issues that are likely to be front and center in the state policy debate over the coming weeks and months as the General Assembly convenes its 2021 session and Governor Roy Cooper commences his second term in office. Well, Lynn Bonner, welcome to News and Views. It's good to have you with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thanks for having me.
Well, we'll see how happy a year it will be in North Carolina politics and lawmaking in the weeks ahead. It's another remarkable year likely ahead for us. Talk to us about just where things stand at the General Assembly. What's the time frame for getting the new General Assembly up and running?
Well, they have a one-day session, January 13th. They come back for kind of an organizational session where the leaders get voted on and sworn in, and it kind of kicks things off, kind of like a soft launch for the session. Then the real work starts getting done January 27th, when they come back for real. And we'll, by then, likely have some committee appointments, and we might start seeing some committees start meeting. By then, we'll have some bills filed, and we'll know what are the most urgent and important things people want at the top of the list for the session.
Although these are extraordinary times, and things are being done in a very different way in many respects, this is kind of sort of how it's usually gone at the General Assembly over the years that you've been covering things for Raleigh. During the first year of the biennium, they generally have this sort of soft launch and then gradually start to pick up steam as the winter months proceed, right?
That's exactly how it goes. And, you know, usually things take a while to really start rolling. There seems to be, you know, just a lot of downtime and sort of positioning. And I guess that might be useful now since COVID is roaring through the state, that there might not be a whole lot happening in the first couple of months of the session.
Yeah, we should say that one of the striking things during last year's session of the General Assembly was that there was a great deal of controversy about how the General Assembly would manage its affairs, how it would handle having the public present, how it would manage having meetings in public. Would it be online? Would they be in public? Would people wear masks? There's no real indication that those issues have been resolved. One would sort of expect, I guess, that there will continue to be sort of differing approaches depending on differing circumstances.
Yeah, masking was voluntary, and there were quite a few people in the building who did not wear masks and said they would actually refuse to wear masks. Many of the committee meetings were online, and you know, people could follow remotely. But that also leaves the question of access. You know, it's just when people are meeting remotely and from their homes, it's just so much harder for the public to get in touch with a legislator, to talk about an issue, to address a bill. And they're really dependent on having legislators, and really it's the LAs, responding to email. So meeting remotely has issues and has problems, especially for public access.
Yeah, and for journalists like yourself, who for so many years walked the halls of the General Assembly and were able to grab a legislator after a meeting to sort of interview them and see what their bill might actually do or what their concerns they might have raised in a committee, all of those things become much, much harder if journalists don't have easy access to lawmakers. And as a practical matter, that's just going to be a lot tougher.
Absolutely. I mean, we always have follow-up questions and, you know, it's just so routine for reporters after meetings, after floor sessions, to walk up to a legislator and get comments, find out the details of a bill. That doesn't happen anymore, or it happens rarely. So it makes covering the legislature so much more difficult and problematic.
Well, we're going to try to do it at NC Policy Watch, and we know you'll be covering it as best you can. And there are a lot of big issues that
one would think might be dealt with this year. Obviously, the pandemic is overarching everything. It's an interesting reality that the legislature and that the state has some money in the bank. They have a few billion dollars that have accumulated, but it's not entirely clear whether that money will be spent on pandemic relief, or there's obviously a raft of needs that the state confronts at this point. Talk to us about that quote-unquote surplus and where some of the places it might conceivably be put to use.
Yeah, there's $4 billion in unspent revenue, and there are a lot of needs. And that's one of the big questions entering the session. You know, what pandemic recovery is going to look like? You know, there are huge unknowns, including that one. What has the pandemic done to revenue? Where will the legislature choose to spend some of the unspent money? Mm-hmm. So just giant question marks. And will it go to helping families individually? Will it go to supporting businesses in some way? And certainly there's a question about education. I mean, there was in the most recent federal COVID aid package, there were millions of dollars that are going to come to the states right. to in part address learning loss and some other issues. So there's a question, well, what role does the legislature have and what can they do to address the issue of kids not keeping pace with annual learning goals and possibly regressing? What steps can they take and how can they address that pressing issue?
There were a lot of big issues in education, in healthcare, other areas that existed before the pandemic. North Carolina didn't have everything going great in the education world when the pandemic hit. And we also had a huge controversy over whether to expand Medicaid. Now, Governor Cooper has established a new commission, a new committee that he hopes will perhaps come up with perhaps some other kind of approach to expanding health care in our state. We know that literally hundreds of thousands of people remain uninsured in the middle of a health pandemic, which doesn't seem like a recipe for a good situation. Any indication that any of these issues will find their way onto the agenda of legislative leaders this year? Or does it still just remain sort of a opaque situation where we really don't know what legislative leaders will be prioritizing?
Completely opaque. Who knows what this Council on Healthcare Coverage is going to come up with? We know that there are Republicans in the legislature who are adamantly opposed to any kind of traditional Medicaid expansion or any kind of expansion where the state would be relieved of paying 10% that the federal government doesn't pay. So there are so many questions with this, and including what the NC Council is going to come up with. This council is huge and includes both some of the staunchest opponents of expansion and people who really want it. So apparently they're looking for some mechanism to get more people insured. What that is at this point, I couldn't say. And Republican leaders are saying that they are not interested in discussing expansion. As you know, in the House, Democrats lost ground, and Democrats have been hoping to actually win control of one or both chambers, and that didn't happen. So the governor has been, I guess, presenting a more conciliatory tone mm-hmm. and putting together this council to perhaps come up with some other options. We'll see where that takes us. There was a panel discussing health care, which is expected to be an issue in this session, where one of the Medicaid expansion opponents said she was thinking about having some kind of limited Medicaid extensions to pregnancy Medicaid, perhaps new mothers could get substance abuse services or extend their health care for a year. Usually new mothers are cut off from Medicaid after 2 months. Mm-hmm. And there's been a state and national push to get that extended to at least a year. So perhaps that might get some traction this year. Other than that, it's, as I said, it's just a complete unknown.
We're coming near the end of our time with NC Policy Watch investigative reporter Lynn Bonner, but I want to ask you about an issue that we found some common ground in recent years, and that's the issue of criminal justice reform, where even some staunch conservatives, maybe out of fiscal reasons, have come to the conclusion that we're incarcerating too many people in our state. We need to move forward with policies that perhaps would provide a second chance for people who were formerly incarcerated. And then on top of that, we've got the whole movement to address the crisis in racial injustice in our state, which remains a vexing, longstanding problem that's going to take years to address. Governor Cooper has appointed a commission led by a Supreme Court justice and an attorney general to look at this issue. Might there be some progress on this front, maybe moving us in the direction of some sort of reform in the criminal justice area that could perhaps address some of these problems in terms of racial inequality?
You know, there might be some movement. This commission came up with a huge list of recommendations, and it's possible there might be movement on some of those. You know, the legislature doesn't have any jurisdiction over, but there are some where they could move. There's a recommendation to decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana. You know, there are other states that have actually, in this past year, legalized medical marijuana and legalized possession of small amounts. So possibly there could be movement there. And there's also a recommendation on eliminating cash bail for some categories of misdemeanors that don't directly involve public safety. So perhaps there might be some movement there. I mean, looking at some of the things that the legislature might do that don't cost money, I think that there might be some select things on this task force list that might move forward.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed and we'll be watching very closely. And we're delighted that you're going to be helping NC Policy Watch to cover these issues in 2021. Lynn, thanks so much. Keep up the great work. And folks, check her out online at ncpolicywatch.com. We'll talk again soon in the months ahead.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Up next, we'll hear about an inspiring new documentary on the life and accomplishments of a public servant who served our state with great distinction. Stay with us.